The Ozarks at Large podcast is made possible by KUAF's contributing listeners. Support from individual listeners in our community helps pay for the cost of producing and distributing this podcast. If you'd like to support this podcast and other digital media produced by KUAF, you can make a contribution at supportkuaf.com.
This is 91.3 KUAF, a listener-supported service of the School of Journalism and Strategic Media at the University of Arkansas. Ahead this hour, the members of the band The Accidentals visit the Furman Garner Performance Studio and talk about performing in parades, on tour, and at South by Southwest this weekend. And they'll be returning to Northwest Arkansas next month to play at the Power of Music Festival in Bentonville. First, this Friday, we welcome Michael Tilley from Talk Business and Politics back to the show. Michael, good to have you with us on this Friday.
Well, thanks for having me again. But so my question is, you're affiliated with a group called Strategic Media, yet you have someone on called The Accidentals.
Well put.
Tell me how you came up with that.
Yeah, that's well done. You should probably just quit now while you're ahead.
Okay, all right. Story of my life.
Well, I'm going to ask you a couple things. We've been talking about this millage, the first in several decades in Fort Smith, how the vote will go in May on the primary date, and it looks like support is rallying around from the business community for the millage. Am I reading that correctly?
Yes. The Fort Smith Regional Council, which is similar in some respects to the Northwest Arkansas Council, endorsed it. Jim Walcott, chairman of Walden Williams and Lick, talked about the region needing an advanced workforce, up-to-date facilities. They endorsed it. Rodney Shepherd, who's head of Arvest Bank in the River Valley region, talked about the economic development and quality of place. Is why outgoing Mayor Sanders, said, you know, look, I don't have children anymore in the system, but from an economic development standpoint, it's necessary. The chamber also said the same thing, talking about, you know, the need for 21st century employees. And they also mentioned, several of them mentioned that the facilities, which average age is 63 years old, definitely are in need of a security upgrade. So the common theme from the business community was just, you know, security and economic development, encouraging everyone to vote for it. Now, Kyle, it's going to have a tough time passing almost $121 million package, increasing the millage 5.8 mils, which really will bring the district millage up to par with other districts. It won't put the millage, you know, way out of whack with other folks. It's since 1987 since the millage was increased. But here are a couple of obstacles to it being passed. One, I mean, other than the obvious, other than the increase, another obstacle is that the election, you know, school districts now have to hold their election in a primary or a general election cycle. And so this will be held May 22nd with the primary. Well, you have some high-profile conservative or Republican races. You know, ASA, Governor Hutchinson is being challenged by Jan Morgan. You've got this packed primary for this Senate District 8 seat that Jake Files vacated. Those two things are going to bring out a lot of conservative voters. Conservative voters typically don't support millage increases. So you have that. The other potential hurdle, and I'm not sure how big of a hurdle this will be, is you still have some hurt feelings, so to speak, from the mascot change of a couple of years ago.
That's when the mascot had been the Rebel at Southside and went to the Mavericks. Yep. Yeah.
And so I think you're still going to have a few folks who are bitter about that. And so it is the school district and the supporters. This is going to be a tough uphill climb to get this to get voter support for this.
It's been an uphill battle for Fort Smith Metro home permits. Where do we stand with those?
Well, not good for the first 2 months of the year. And we look at Fort Smith, Greenwood, Van Buren, three biggest cities in the region. Altogether, for the first 2 months, those three cities have posted $30.6 million. That's down, Kyle, almost 17% from the same time last year. Most of that is from the city of Fort Smith. For the first 2 months of the year, the city Permit values are $28 million, down a little over 14% compared to last year. Of course, first 2 months, as we said before, 2 months do not necessarily make a trend. But the region, the Fort Smith region in the past, well, since 2010, really, has never put a clear trend together. It's been a roller coaster ride. For example, in 2010, those three cities posted permit values combined, posted permit values $149 million. Well, the next year, it jumped up to $201 million. Then the next year, in 2012, it fell back to $154 million. In 2013, it was popped back up to $202 million. And then, you know, it's kind of been up and down. In 2017, it was $210 million. So, you know, it's never been, unlike Northwest Arkansas or Northeast Arkansas, it's never been something you can kind of peg and say, well, it'll probably be here next year just based on past performance.
The medical marijuana process is continuing. And yesterday we heard Governor Hutchinson. He was actually signing some other legislation, but he was asked by a reporter about the marijuana medical licensing process. And he didn't sound all that supportive of the way it's gone.
He was surprisingly critical. And he's part of a growing chorus. People are critical. Look, Kyle, this thing is pretty screwed up. There have been several lawsuits filed. In fact, Placer County Circuit Judge Wendell Griffin has put a hold on even allowing the five cultivators that were selected to be permitted. That's going to delay the process even longer. You had these five commissioners, and they had this complicated scoring process. Well, Governor Hutchinson came out and publicly said, what a lot of people have been thinking and even privately saying is, why didn't you just do this like you do liquor licenses? You put qualified people, you make sure they're qualified, you check all the qualifications up front, the bonding, you know, the money, check their past business record, all of that, and then put them in a lottery system and select. And that's worked well for liquor licenses for a long time. You know, why reinvent the wheel with this complicated system? So, you know, I don't know. I would be very surprised if the Arkansas Medical Marijuana Commission kind of crawled at it, as we would say in Johnson County, and looked at it again and changed the rules. But this is a mess, and I don't know how they unwind the mess at this point, Kyle, without creating even more legal problems for themselves. It's a shame because, you know, we talk about this being a political issue. There are a lot of folks out there with, I think there are over 4,100 medical marijuana cards that have been issued. A lot of folks estimate that number will begin to grow with significance once people know it's really going to happen. A lot of those folks are in pain, could use the benefits, the proven benefits we've seen in 20-something other states.
Well, let's end then with a more positive note. This Go Serve app that has been created by area high school students, and it won a prize from the Junior Leadership Academy. Explain to me what Go Serve does.
The Junior Leadership Academy is managed by the Fort Smith Regional Chamber of Commerce. It's modeled after Leadership Fort Smith. They break the students up into teams, and the students are from different school districts in the region. They break them up into teams, and the teams have to come up with a project by the end of the year. Well, this one group came up with Go Serve, and it's an application. It's a phone app that connects people with nonprofits and other organizations in the area that need volunteers. For example, I could go on, create an individual profile, what I like, who I would be interested in volunteer for, when I can volunteer, and those type of things, and it would marry me up with, you know, opportunities or allow those organizations to come find and contact. And so you had these students, one from the Future School of Fort Smith, one from Southside High School, two from Northside, and a student from Greenwood worked on the project. They won $1,000 for the effort. They're not finished with it. It's not live yet. They estimate it'll cost another $550 to get it up to go live. You know, for all of us old folks who think that these millennials just sit around and eat Tide Pods and hunker down in their safe spaces, this is a great, this is a great example of where that's not always true, or it's probably true, much less than what we think it is.
Michael Tilley is with Talk Business and Politics. He joins us almost every Friday. Michael, thank you so much.
You're welcome, sir.
New book by Daniel Mallory Ortberg puts a feminist twist on old fairy tales. The author has also recently transitioned.
I was not sure that I was going to come out in time for the book tour, and one of the things that I was really anxious about was the thought of people saying, hey, a lot of shifting gender roles in your book. What's going on there? And having to say something like, oh, no reason?
That in the news in a busy week, Saturday on Weekend Edition from NPR News.
Weekend Edition Saturday, tomorrow morning from 7 to 9. We've told you a few times this week about the new Shannon Wurst CD, Sugar and Kerosene, and about the CD release show set for this weekend at Stage 18 in downtown Fayetteville. We thought we should also pass along now. That show has sold out, but you can still learn about the CD and other Shannon Wurst shows at shannonwurst.com or on her Facebook page. There is something new at Crystal Bridges. For the first time since Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art opened in 2011, its early American art galleries have been renovated. These newly designed spaces, which have been closed since January, are opening to the public today. Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda attended a media preview yesterday and has more on what guests can expect during their next visit.
Considering relevancy while planning the gallery renovation was important to curator Mindy Besaw and her colleagues. The first time around, Besaw says she doesn't think they did a good job of introducing guests to the entirety of the collection and opening it up for new or relatable experiences. Previously, when you entered the early American art galleries, you were greeted by similar-looking portraits of mostly white people from colonial times. Now, guests are welcomed by Nari Ward's We the People, a 28-foot installation with the first three words of the preamble to the U.S. Constitution constructed in shoelaces. Across from this newly built wall are portraits from various time periods that are much more colorful than their predecessors. This group contains a diverse cast of characters, including a regal George Washington and a relaxed African American named Jared sitting on his skateboard.
This is really meant to give a snapshot or a reflection of the variety of people that make up America, of the variety of artists that we're featuring in the gallery. And one of the things that I'll point out throughout the galleries is with the idea of inclusion, we have to still start with our collection and highlighting our collection. So great masterpieces like Charles Wilson Peale's George Washington. But what can we do? How can we expand out from just that kind of founding father, traditional American history story? And so we borrowed a lot of objects from private collections and other museums throughout the country.
Organizations like the Denver Art Museum and the Nelson Atkins Museum of Art have loaned more than 25 pieces to Crystal Bridges. Besaw says most of the artworks will have to be returned within a year's time, so the space will stay pretty dynamic.
There are so many institutions that want your loan request a year out, and so we're going to get moving on that as soon as possible because we want to keep the same general concept of variety and conversation. But it also is a chance for us to learn what's resonating with our guests and then kind of respond to that in that second moment.
The early American art galleries feature a total of 185 objects. Most are from the museum's permanent collection, and some of those are on view for the first time. Officials have been working on the reinstallation project for 2 years. Artworks are now organized chronologically through three different time periods and thematic groupings. The first, Networks and Power, explores the formation of the visual identity during early nation building. The second section, People on the Move, reflects on the mid-19th century and the social transformation taking place as Americans moved from farms to cities and incorporated new transportation systems into their lives. If guests need to take a break from moving through the galleries themselves, they can rest in this section on a couch or one of four rotating chairs.
And our furniture, also trying something new. It's a little bit more like a living room. It's meant to be comfy. You're meant to sit down, enjoy the space. There will be an activity here coming soon as well, and that will encourage closer looking to the paintings around you. And this furniture was given to us by House.
The last section, Painters of Modern Life, focuses on art related to emerging modern life, including themes of labor and leisure. At the conclusion of the galleries, more than 40 works are hung in the Paris Salon style, which means they're arranged closer together, allowing for more art to be on view. Throughout the galleries, information is presented in both English and Spanish. Interpretation manager Stace Treat says while there were text panels before the renovation, they threw those out and started from scratch so they could address the new story the museum is telling.
That also includes our audio guide, what we call our audio app. There are several objects throughout the museum, but this in particular, this is one of them I would point out, where we recorded new material for and made it more conversational. So it's like Mindy, myself, and having a conversation with someone about the work of art as opposed to just your standard, this painting is blah, blah, blah. Yeah. So again, another way that we wanted to make it more engaging, dynamic, and fun.
There are also interactive stations located throughout the galleries. For example, in a focused exhibition space within the first Early American Art Gallery, guests can practice sketching a foot or hand by looking at a sculpture. This smaller exhibition space will feature rotating artworks twice a year, starting with How Do You Figure, which is on display through August 20th. This exhibition is comprised of 35 works spanning from the 1700s to today that examine a variety of styles and media for depicting the human body. Assistant curator Alejo Benedetti says you'll find that no two artists approach the subject the same way.
This show is really all about process. It's about how do artists do that? How do artists actually accomplish that feat? And so we have moments like this where we're showing multiple stages of how an artist is figuring out how you realize a very large artwork.
The smallest space in the redesigned galleries is a 105-square-foot area for experimentation called The Niche. Projects here will last anywhere from a few days to a month. Right now, The Niche focuses on the designer's process for choosing gallery paint colors. The Niche and the rest of the Early American Art Galleries are now open to the public and admission is free. More information is available at crystalbridges.org. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
Ozarks at Large is underwritten in part by the Walton Family Charitable Support Foundation. Additional support provided by Penguin Ed's Barbecue, offering weekend breakfast each Saturday and Sunday, 7 to 11 a.m. at the Mission and Crossover location in Fayetteville. Menu items include quiche, pancakes, breakfast tacos, and more. PenguinEds.com.
Later on today's Ozarks, three musicians from Northern Michigan are touring the country together on the strength of their latest CD, Odyssey. They're the Accidentals. Last week, as they traveled between shows, they came to visit us.
Outside the lake's a cataract, it stares up at the sky, blind to the aftermath. We all attend a nameless funeral. You could say it's sad, but reason has to call it beautiful. So I burn my clothes, the ones I curse when I'm alone, and I trace the night.
The Accidentals in the Furman Garner Performance Studio last week, at South by Southwest this weekend, back in Northwest Arkansas next month for the Power of Music Festival in Bentonville, and on today's Ozarks at Large in about 15 minutes. Arkansas's first mass timber building is under construction on Hill Avenue in South Fayetteville's Arts District. The future high-density, climate-controlled off-site storage facility will house millions of University of Arkansas library books, journals, maps, artworks, and special collection items for remote patron access. As Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich reports, the new library storage facility shell is made entirely of thick, cross-laminated timber panels.
A construction crew trims a giant wood panel hanging from a crane this afternoon before lowering the piece into place. Towering five stories high above them, behind them, is an immense wooden box made of shiny, pale yellow spruce, a future library storage unit. Roger Boscus with Miller Boscus Lack Architects, based in Fayetteville, is the architect of record for this project. He's working with designer Perry Dean Rogers.
It's about 28,000 square feet, and the book storage facility is about 50 foot tall. So the volume, almost five stories of volume, and the materials will be stacked 48 feet tall inside the 50 foot volume.
Boscus says due to a tight project budget, they sought an alternative, less costly building material.
the original design was intended to be a concrete block facility, and the reason for that construction type was to make the building somewhat rigid or hardened so that the precious materials housed within the facility would be protected in the event of high winds or storms.
Instead, this building is made of cross-laminated timber. The walls are made of 5-ply panels, 3.5 inches thick. The roof panels, 5 inches thick.
Cross-laminated timber panels are constructed by taking wood as an inch by, say, 4 inches thick, and then they run in different directions. So they cross-turn or turn them 90 degrees, so each layer is 3/4 of an inch, and then the next layer, kind of like a sheet of plywood, is built up of multiple layers that are sandwiched and glued together and then compressed until the glue sets.
Cross-laminated timber, or CLT, provides dimensional stability, strength, and rigidity, making it an industry-approved alternative to concrete, masonry, and steel. First developed and tested in Europe 20 years ago, cross-laminated timber construction is just now taking hold in the U.S. Boskis says the library's panels are made of sustainably grown and harvested spruce by the Binderholz, a family-owned Austrian company which manufactures cross-laminated timber materials. The shell of the building, which looks like a giant toy box on the landscape, is complete. The exterior will be waterproofed, Boskis says, and clad in Akoya wood, a certified plantation-grown pine, which is treated with non-toxic acetic acids to alter the wood's chemistry, making it impervious to rot.
Which is sourced out of Texas, and it has a charred finish, and it's something the Japanese have used for hundreds of years, and it's just essentially a weatherproofing and a finish on the exterior of the building that will be here for a long, long time.
The north side exterior will be partially clad in metal and stone to match the new UA sculpture studio next door, part of a new growing arts district in South Fayetteville. Boskis says he first discovered cross-laminated timber at a mass timber symposium in Little Rock hosted by the University of Arkansas Fay Jones School of Architecture and U of A Monticello Forestry School. Faculty and students partnered several years ago to conduct research and development on Arkansas Southern Yellow Pine plantation-grown CLT. Even with an extremely frigid and wet winter, Boskis says construction of the library storage facility, which broke ground last July, should be complete by midsummer.
One advantage to the CLT and mass timber construction is the speed of the erection of the superstructure, and we've saved about 2 months in the construction time on the project by using this technology.
The prefab walls and roof sections were wrapped in plastic, then shipped overseas to Arkansas.
It's just a matter of putting it up and putting the pieces together, and they screw together super fast. So like this front part of the building that was erected in the last 2 days, which, you know, with conventional framing methods would have been 2 weeks. So we've saved tons of time. These are some of the wood screws that they use. So some of them are 8 and 10 inch length, and then some of them are shorter.
Piecing the shell together requires a new skill set for a project contractor, Conreal. Taking 140,000 giant steel screws and thousands of heavy steel brackets and plates.
That was definitely a crash course for all of us. I'd be lying if I told you something, you know, different.
Using CLT construction, Boskis says, has saved the university $1 million.
This is the first CLT project in this region, and it's certainly the first in Arkansas. The hotspot for this industry is in the Pacific Northwest, where there is a plant. The first plant in the United States was done up in Montana. So it's a very small plant. It's still in existence, but it doesn't really supply much to the rest of the country, from what I understand.
CLT buildings, Boskis says, are hurricane and earthquake resistant and reportedly fire resistant.
So we're inside the 20,000 square foot book storage facility. What you see are the beams that run the width of the room are glue laminated wood beams, and then we have glue laminated wood columns. The columns are about 6 inches thick, and they're about 24 inches deep. So all the vertical columns are about the same dimension, and they're about every 15 feet.
The column spacing must be tighter compared to a steel building.
The inside walls are finished. What you see is what you get. So it's all natural wood. And we chose not to put any kind of a sealer or anything on it because we didn't want to have anything that would create VOC off-gassing in the space that could potentially harm the materials that are going to be stored in here. So we just have a wooden box to store the materials.
That's roofers at work.
So the one thing you'll notice is we can actually stand here and carry on a conversation. This is one of the very few job sites that I can talk to anyone on the site almost everywhere, you know, about what's going on or just a tour or anything. It's remarkably quiet. And so when they were putting this 20,000 square foot box together, you just heard the simple sound of a cordless drill and a screw going into wood. It's very quiet. And then the idle of a diesel engine of the crane, but it really remarkably quiet. Most of my large commercial steel construction jobs, you hear nonstop hammering, banging, hammer drills, a lot of noise.
Good thing, given the building is so novel, Boska says. He's conducting a dozen site tours per month to curious architects, builders, and reporters. The American Wood Council says cross-laminated timber is a low-carbon construction alternative to steel and concrete, given CLT manufacturing, which sources renewable softwood, results in less greenhouse gas emissions. After the new UA Library storage complex is finished, library materials, including most books, will be moved into the facility. Patrons won't be allowed access to the facility. Instead, they'll use a courier service to retrieve requested items, which will be delivered to the main campus for pickup. The facility will also feature a preservation and conservation area where materials are cleaned, repaired, and restored, a digitization and workspace for staff, a maps and microforms storage area as well. The $11.4 million high-density storage facility is funded by University of Arkansas student facility fees. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
And we've posted a slideshow of the new Mullen storage unit, as well as an informational PDF on cross-laminated timber industry at our website, ozarksatlarge.com.
Hi, this is Lee Wood, KUAF's membership director. We know you don't listen to 91.3 to have your opinions confirmed. You turn to us for thought-provoking conversations from people on all sides of the issues. Plenty of other media outlets will give you a partisan echo chamber, but not KUAF. We're not afraid of complicated issues, strong opinions, or heated debates. These conversations happen here thanks to the financial support of our listeners. Contribute now to support radio that doesn't shy away from difficult topics or differing opinions. Give online at supportkuaf.com.
This is Ozarks at Large. Dense smoke and haze from multiple wildfires covered portions of Carroll County yesterday, disturbing residents and triggering some first responders. Bob Pettis, assistant chief with the Eureka Springs Fire and EMS, says two dozen firefighters from the Arkansas Forestry Commission and several municipal fire departments succeeded in controlling multiple fires yesterday and overnight.
We had six fires in southwestern Carroll County that we responded to. It was very dry. It was pretty windy. And so there were some fires that had been burning for several days that really jumped the borders of where they were before. And so we had numerous structures that were threatened, but no structures burned down. No people were injured. So we're so thankful for that.
Pettis says the cause of the fires, likely due to property owners and farmers conducting controlled field burns, a common practice this time of year.
They're under control at this time and contained, but will still burn for several days at least. And so there'll still be smoke in the area. And you can let the residents know that if they see flames close to their house, they should call 911. And please don't anybody start any fires right now.
Crews battled wildfires along Rockhouse Road, southeast of Eureka Springs, on 23 South, east of Turpentine Creek Wildlife Refuge, and another fire on Hog Scald Hollow. A burn ban has been issued in Carroll County. It's the only warned county in the state right now. The Arkansas Forestry Commission describes the wildfire danger across northern Arkansas as moderate. Humidity increased overnight with spotty rain, but the National Weather Service is maintaining a fire weather watch for much of eastern Oklahoma and extreme northwest Arkansas because of unseasonably warm, very dry, and windy conditions. As a consequence, set fires that develop, the Weather Service says, could spread very rapidly. Rains are expected Sunday night into Monday. Governor Asa Hutchinson is announcing his intention to reorganize and reduce state governmental departments and agencies by at least 50%, noting the last major reform of state government was under the administration of Democratic Governor Dale Bumpers in 1971. Governor Hutchinson says his plan would be achieved through attrition and combining existing boards and agencies rather than through layoffs.
Today, we have more than 42 agencies that report directly to me as governor, and we have over 200 boards and commissions that we have responsibility for. This size of our state cabinet is unwieldy and does not allow for sufficient accountability to the taxpayers.
Governor Hutchinson says he hopes to have a report from the State Transformation Advisory Board by next fall in preparation for the 2019 legislative session.
Support for 91.3 and Arkansas Public Media come from Simmons Bank, with more than 90 community-based locations in Arkansas, providing banking and lending services. Dreams realized. SimmonsBank.com for more. Additional support comes from David Adams Fine Jewelry, designing and creating fine jewelry in traditional European metalsmithing techniques. Earrings, pendants, rings, and cuff bracelets in silver, gold, and platinum, including diamonds and colored stones, are available. David Adams is located on the Fayetteville Square and online at davidadams.com.
The Accidentals have a purpose. The trio hails from northern Michigan, and they have known each other since they were teenagers. They make wonderful music together and for others. They're also attracting attention, picked as one of the best new bands by Billboard, Yahoo Music, Huffington Post, and others. This weekend, the Accidentals are playing at South by Southwest in Austin, Texas, and their latest CD is titled Odyssey and features guest appearances from Keller Williams and Khaki King. Last week, they were passing through northwest Arkansas after a show in Springfield, Missouri, and came to the Carver Center for Public Radio. A preview of sorts of their return next month when they'll be at the Power of Music Festival in Bentonville. The Accidentals are Katie Larson, cello, Sab Weist, guitar, and Michael Dawes, percussion. Our conversation last week began when I mistakenly thought they were almost done with their current tour.
We are day six out of 45.
Oh, my. That's almost the exact opposite. Six out of 45.
Yes. We are headed to South by Southwest in Austin, Texas. This is our fourth time going to South by. And then after this, we are headed to the West Coast to tour with a band called Moon Hooch, like a saxophone, drum trio, jam band, dance music, college crowd kind of thing, which we're really excited about.
So what's that like, being somewhere thinking we got 39 to 40 more days? Can you think of it like that, or do you just take it one day at a time?
Definitely one day at a time.
Yeah. Actually keep a journal of every day, like the crazy things that happen every day on this tour. And it's been really interesting to go back and look at all the previous tours. I know we had a lot more mechanical breakdowns in the last tours, so right now, we're doing pretty good, I would say, in comparison. We had a possible flat tire this morning, but that's...
Oh, yeah. I was getting the oil changed, and we looked at the front tire, and it looked like what was the top of, like, a giant screw. And I was like, oh, no. And so Evan took our sound engineer. He had some pliers on him, as one does if you're a sound engineer.
I can't believe you guys did this yourselves.
See, Michael's and the most just, responsible like, wiggled it to see how big it was, and then it popped out, and it was like one of those thumbtacks with the giant head, but then, like, you know, that much underneath. So we dodged a bullet on a flat tire today, which, you know, we've been not so lucky in the past. We've had a... especially on our last tour where we did pretty much a full round of the country, we had like 8 mechanical breakdowns. We broke a trailer.
Wow.
Yeah, we had to buy a new trailer on the road and leave the other one behind. So
you can only go one day at a time, really.
So, yep. Yeah. So when you're on one of these massive tours like this, are you playing every day?
Almost. We have I would say our schedule's like 5 shows in a row, and then we have a day, and then we have another 5 shows in a row. and then we have a day to drive. A lot of those days off that we have, though, we're still working, or we're going to radio stations, or we're driving. I mean, today we're driving 10 hours to Tyler, Texas. We started out in Springfield, Missouri, and we're just headed all the way over there today. But it's a good schedule because it's good to stay busy when you're on the road. Otherwise, I think it's easy to go stir crazy when your schedule is so inconsistent. The only consistency becomes the regular routine of going into a venue, setting up your stuff, playing a show, and leaving. And so you don't want to interrupt that too many times, you know. But at the same time, we've learned to stay present and try to get some times at museums or in nature and kind of make stops along the way, just to keep ourselves mentally invigorated and also appreciating what we get to do even more.
Are you all three from Traverse City, Michigan?
Savannah and I, this is Katie. Yeah. We're from Traverse City. And then Michael is from downstate Michigan. So he's from the Detroit, Ann Arbor area. But we, Sav and I started playing in our public high school orchestra program up in Northern Michigan. And after we'd been playing for a couple years as a duo, we met Michael at a music festival and kind of encouraged him to drop out of Belmont University and join us on the road.
I would say encouraged, just putting it lightly. We were like, please come with us. Oh, my gosh.
It really didn't take much convincing on my end. It was more the parents.
The one thing I know about Traverse City, Michigan, and maybe I'm wrong, don't they have a cherry festival?
We do. Ooh.
The National Cherry Festival,
yes,
is that right?
National Cherry
so,
Festival.
Funny story, this year we actually performed at the Cherry Festival on a parade float.
Oh, yeah, we did.
Just as Ferris Bueller characters singing Twist and Shout, and one of our songs called Michigan, and again, in rotation for about like 20 minutes. Yeah, one of the most interesting shows we ever did. The mic stands were bouncing all around.
I remember our sound engineer, Evan, had to figure out how many hours the generator on the chair float would actually last us. And so he, like, sat down. He's a U of M graduate, and he, like, mathematically charted it out. And he's like, I feel like a real engineer right now.
I mean, it was, like, legitimate algebra
it
for
was
this
scary.
Parade float.
It, like, made my head hurt looking at it, so.
I'm beginning maybe to understand why the CD is titled Odyssey, because everything you describe sounds like a Homeric epic poem trying to get from one place to the other.
I'm just glad that somebody's writing it down at this point. We've also had like videographers come with us and try to capture like maybe 10% of all the craziness that happens.
And the funny thing is, one of the videographers that we take along with us, Charlie, we joke that every time that he comes out, it's like the best week we've ever had on the road, and we stay at like the nicest place, and like the food's amazing. And then he leaves, and like our trailer dies, and our van breaks down.
Yeah, he's always like,
Charlie,
I don't know what you guys are complaining about. And we're like, Charlie, come back.
Well, what is the song Odyssey about?
Odyssey is kind of about the culmination of the past 6 years of being a band now. We started when we were 15 and 16. In our high school public orchestra program. And we were playing violoncello, and we would stay after school and play in this alternative styles club, and we would cover Led Zeppelin, MGMT, and Coldplay on our orchestral instruments. And I think the difference between back then and now is so drastic, it's hard to even put it into words, so we tried to put it into song. It's been a lot of ups and downs, a lot of feeling stuck and a lot of trying to push forward and a lot of strength and vulnerability in turn. And sometimes vulnerability is the true strength too. So we're trying to capture all of those feelings, not just in the song Odyssey, but in the album overall. And it really wraps it up kind of concisely with the line, I'm not weak and my brain's a hurricane. It feels like that sometimes.
Can we hear it?
Yeah, absolutely. All right, here we go. Outside the lakes of cataract, stares up at the sky, blind to the aftermath. We all attend a nameless funeral. You could say it's sad, but reason us to call it beautiful. So I burn my clothes, the ones I curse when I'm alone. And I trace the night and architect the shattered sky. And all the things I fear fade away with the coming year. A resolution in the chaos that I made. But I ain't
night, weak. My brain's a hurricane of sky and sleep. Beside and set a broken curse on me. I'm not the one who bleeds with every odyssey. Our nudist seeds and no perfume. And mass nostalgic times, forgotten crimes die in the fumes. But Polaroids are laying in darkened rooms. The kids these days hold tight to each other in the womb. And I shovel days into the dirt and dust and fray. And I keep the score of everything I have in store. I get giddy feeling pain until no obstacles remained. A resolution in the chaos that I made. But I'm not weak. My brain's a hurricane of sky and sea. Beside instead a broken curse on me. I'm not the one who bleeds with every odyssey. Upon your shoulders from the lake, the words you drown leave a bitter taste inside your mouth. Whatever you have shared will throw itself against your teeth until you have the guts to let it out. But I'm not weak. My brain's a hurricane of sky and sea. Beside and set a broken curse on me. I'm not the one who bleeds with every bruise and wounds on me. But I'm not weak. My brain's a hurricane of sky and sea. Beside and set a broken curse on me. I'm not the one who bleeds with every odyssey.
That was utterly fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
You met in public school symphony and orchestra.
Yes. Philharmonic, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, and then you've scored music for a large...
Yes. Yeah, we have done a couple collaborations with different ensembles.
I can hear it.
I hear it, every time we play these songs, I'm, hearing a full orchestra in the back of my head and, every once in a while, we get to bring it to life. I think one of our first collaborations was in our hometown of Traverse City with the TSO.
Traverse Symphony Orchestra, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we scored a song from our album Bittersweet that we recorded while we were in high school. And we've actually gone back with our old orchestra and done workshops with them and arranged some new songs. And we love doing that for sure. It's really fun. It goes back to our Orc Dork roots.
Yeah, I remember doing that during final exam week. It was a nightmare, but it ended up working out really, really well. We had a ton of fun doing it. So the only scary part was that in the Traverse Symphony Orchestra, half the orchestra is made up of previous teachers of ours. So I felt very uncomfortable handing over all this stuff, basically the thesis paper of our music theory career to all these teachers in the orchestra who now are supposed to read the sheet music and play along with us. So, but it was cool. It felt like a full circle thing.
So right now you were in Springfield early. You're on your way to Tyler. Then it's South by Southwest, then West Coast. But the good news is you're going to be back in Northwest Arkansas for the Power Music Festival.
Yes, indeed. One of our favorite times of the entire year. We're going to be playing at Power Music on April 26th through the 29th in Bentonville, Arkansas.
We look forward to having you back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. We're really excited about it.
Yeah, I'm already every once in a while we're home, you know, we get maybe a week off from tour every once in a while at home, and I spend all my time like writing and like working on old songs and working on new songs, and I'm like, I can't wait to test some of these out when we go to the Power of Music Fest.
All right.
Because, you know, we get a little chance to play together, we get a chance to test out some songs solo, because we're so used to playing as a duo or a trio that sometimes it's fun to kind of break out and perform our own songs and just collaborate with all the other artists there.
Well, I think, yeah, it's Power Music Fest is unlike every other gig we've ever played, because for the first time we're all doing solo sets. Like, that's so beyond our comfort zone half the time, and we're just excited to like be able to test that out at Power Music. Like, that's our safe zone to do it.
Okay, so you mentioned that it was a little bit intimidating maybe to have the former teachers read your sheet music, and
yes,
now you're talking about outside of your comfort zone solo. I'm not a guitarist, but I'm thinking, if I'm a guitarist and I'm going to do something with Khaki King.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that would, because I think she's one of my heroes.
Oh, she's absolutely my hero. Excuse me.
Well.
There can only be one. No, I'm kidding.
What's that like, working with Khaki King?
Well, we actually, it was like a long distance kind of relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she sent us, I guess the relationship really started because we were sponsored by Takamine Guitars, which I'm currently playing. Ba-doom, ba-doom. And our artist rep over there, David Vincent, we were talking to him, and he was, you know, letting us play all the guitars in Nashville. And he's like, so what artist do you like? I was like, well, I'm a huge fan of Khaki King. He's like, I used to manage her. I could hook you guys up if you want. I was like, please do. We were recording our album, Odyssey, at the time, and we had this track called Ballad Tender Gun that just had, you know, basically an instrumental 2-minute-long quartet piece. And we felt like it was really missing something. I was like, well, what if we just put Khaki King on it and, like, had her just rip an amazing solo? And so we reached out via email, and she got back to us within, like, a day and was like, I'll totally do it. Like, just send me the song, and I'll put something on it. And so she did, and it's probably my favorite thing ever. I unabashedly listen to this song all the time, and I'm sure it shows up on my Spotify, like, Sav is listening to her own band. Oh, what a jerk. But, like, really,
yeah,
I'm just listening to Khaki King.
That's when you hit private session.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty cool. She was really, I think the coolest thing about Khaki is that she's super collaborative and kind of, she embodies a lot of what we're trying to be, along with artists like Keller Williams and Martin Sexton. All those people are incredibly collaborative and always open to a jam, and that's what we kind of are striving for a little bit, is to be a string team.
And who knows, because a festival is usually great for that, right? Meeting someone
yes.
you didn't know
yes.
and being able to create something with them.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
And Keller Williams, by the way, also on
yes.
Odyssey. Yes. All right, before I let you go, I'm going to ask you about the title Chekhov's Gun.
Yeah.
Like Anton?
Yeah, absolutely. That's spot on.
No, the other Chekhov, Kyle. Yeah.
That other guy.
Yeah.
No, actually, it's a literary device used to kind of represent hindsight and foreshadowing in a way. My dad and I were having a conversation about it because I had a really traumatic event happen to me at my first South by Southwest. And I still haven't fully walked away from some parts of it, but I've learned a lot about being vulnerable and not trying to push through things and be strong all the time as a result of whatever trauma I carry with me. I think the best way to move on is just to accept that it happened and accept that, you know, it's the best thing you can do is acknowledge that vulnerability. But the song came from a conversation I was having with my dad about that. And basically what he told me was, it's like Chekhov's gun. Like, I was supposed to know what that means off the top of my head. And I was like, what is that? And he's like, well, it's basically when you see a gun in the first act, it has to go off by the last. And what that really struck a chord with me was the fact that you can't always control the things in the past or even in the future. And hindsight's always going to be 20/20. And you know, there's nothing you can really do about that except control how you react to it and what you take away from every experience that you go through. The only thing you can really control is yourself. And so this song came out of it. It's called Chekhov's Gun. Even go turns back into the souls.
Broken CDs in the potholes, out of reach just like the things you can't control. Eyes caught in by the light. Oh dear, the fear will never fade. It hides between the fine lines of your face. And maybe this will fade with fame, or shadow you like a given name. Sometimes truth's disguised in a tangled chain. You hide away inside your room. Close your eyes to change in pain, just feel the same. You've got it figured out, but people aren't logical. They'll drink the glass regardless of a fall. They live oblivious. Today's a burn like cigarettes, and falling piles of things you soon forget. And maybe this will fade with fame, or shadow you like a given name. Sometimes truth's disguised in a tangled chain. You hide away inside your room. Close your eyes to change in pain, just feel the same. Your life's a power play. Your curtains contradictory. You shred the script and fake your victory. It's hidden in peripheral. And so with the sack Chekhov's gun, the shack goes off and yet the show goes on. Maybe this will fade with fame, or shadow you like a given name. Sometimes truth's disguised in a tangled chain. You hide away inside your room. Close your eyes and nothing's changing. Not a moment's left worth taking. Everything's mundane, nothing else remains. Cause change and pain will always feel the same.
I'm sorry whatever happened, but it's a beautiful song.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Can't wait to have you back in late April for Power Music Festival in Bentonville. Safe travels.
Thank you.
The Accidentals in the Furman Garner Performance Studio earlier this month. The Accidentals are Sav Weist, guitar, Michael Dawes, percussion, and Katie Larson, cello. Their latest CD is titled Odyssey, and this weekend they're playing at South by Southwest in Austin, Texas before a West Coast tour. But they'll be back in Northwest Arkansas in late April for the Power of Music Festival taking place in Bentonville.
That's Cedar Walton performing an original tune entitled Turquoise. Hello, I'm Robert Ginsberg, your host for Shades of Jazz every Friday and Saturday here on KUAF. This week we'll hear more music from Cedar Walton. Plus Esperanza Spalding, Champion Fulton, Grace Kelly, and more. Shades of Jazz, right here on KUAF, your national public radio station.
A service of the J. William Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas. This is 91.3 KUAF, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Bentonville, and Garfield. Ozarks at Large, a production of KUAF. I'm Kyle Kellums. Be with me Sunday morning at 9 for Weekend Ozarks at Large. All next week, we go to our 28 years of archives with some of our favorite stories and interviews. That's all next week on Daily Ozarks at Large.